Hello, Professor Peter Lynam, are you there?
I am here, yes indeed, Johnny.
Now, this afternoon we are talking about Ethiopia.
Yes, and I don't suppose that we've ever talked about Ethiopia before. And it's taken a bit of working for me to make sense of an incredibly important part of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 118 million people in Ethiopia.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
That's a huge population.
Yes.
And yet it's there's a centre of a massive human tragedy,
mm-hmm.
of endless wars with their neighbour, Eritrea, which we've heard probably a reasonable amount about, but also a civil war within the country within Tigray, which is the part of Ethiopia that is bounded by Ethiopia on one side and Eritrea on the other,
mm-hmm.
side.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been incredibly violent, and they reckon that probably more than 500,000 people have been killed in the conflict just in the last 2 years.
Wow.
So this is really serious,
mm-hmm.
In terms of human tragedy. But, believe it or not, over the past week, the fundamental steps towards peace seem to be being made. Now, we shouldn't breathe too easily yet, but I found this a very interesting study. And it may not, on the face of it, seem to have any religious dimensions, but actually, in the agreement that was forged between the Tigray army that was trying to break away from Ethiopia and the Ethiopian state, there's a recognition that this is immoral in religious terms, and that's quite striking.
Mm-hmm. One thing, I mean, that surprised me was the fact that I didn't realize that Ethiopia was heavily Christian.
Oh, yes. This is an extraordinary exception to the general patterns of Africa, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of that part of Africa. But it goes back a very, very long way.
Yes.
Because Ethiopians were converted in one of the... Well, before the Roman Empire was converted in effect,
mm-hmm.
their form of Christianity is a bit different from most other people's. It's been an independent Ethiopian church. It's in the Orthodox tradition of Christianity,
mm-hmm.
But it's been very independent of everybody else,
yes.
for centuries after centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's an important part of the factor. Now, of course, there is Islam present in in parts of Ethiopia and in Eritrea, which is along the coast.
Yes,
but nevertheless, fundamentally, the shame of the story is that it's all sides profess a common religion,
mm-hmm.
at least to some extent.
Yes,
and yet they seem unable to resolve their differences.
Now, what are the differences that they have been at war over?
Well, effectively, Tigray felt it never had a fair share in the government of Ethiopia. Remember, Ethiopia for many, many years was dominated by Emperor Haile Selassie. The name's vaguely familiar to all those who have any interest in reggae music. And, the emperor, who claimed to be the descendant of the ancient state of Ethiopia, and so he was a Christian ruler, a Christian emperor, and that government collapsed in the 1980s,
mm-hmm.
and it was replaced by a revolutionary army, which, and I think that sense of revolution created a lot of the chaos in the country.
Yes.
And so Tigray was at the center of the revolt because Eritrea on the coast was easily supported by foreign powers,
mm-hmm.
and so it's had lots and lots of stuff pumped into it,
yes.
by various people.
Yep.
And Tigray's been right in the thick of the conflict because a war went on between Ethiopia and Eritrea,
mm-hmm.
until 2000, and was finally a peace treaty was broken in 2018. But the problem, I'm sorry, this is all a bit breathless, the problem has been that once Eritrea and Ethiopia made peace, then the logical thing that they did together was to squeeze the Tigrayan army that was trying to get independence and which lay between those two parts. I don't want to call it a state because it wasn't a state. It was just one of the provinces of Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And so since 2018, when Ethiopia and Eritrea were at peace, Tigray has been the center of extraordinarily harsh treatment, coupled with, of course, the usual African dreadful humanitarian crisis.
Yes.
In the terrible experiences of famine.
Mm-hmm.
That have sort of made the whole thing worse.
Yes. Okay, but the Tigray state or region had been minding its own business pretty much, and it was the central Ethiopian government which struck first in this war, correct?
Yes, that's right. Because the Ethiopians, remember, Ethiopia, as I said, 118 million,
yes.
6 million people in the province of Tigray.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and Tigray is, you know, has no particular resources that mean that it can sort of survive by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that for lots of reasons, the same thing that led Eritrea to break away from Ethiopia meant that the Tigrayans felt as though they weren't being properly represented. There was a whole issue of language,
yes.
As there often is in these things, that these states which emerged, especially as the shape of Africa became clear after World War II. See, the Italians had invaded Ethiopia. So coming out of that, the British occupied, and it was just a great chaos in trying to shape a new state. And the Tigrayans felt they had missed out.
Mm-hmm.
And that their language had not been fully achieved. For a while, Tigray had a lot of influence in the Ethiopian government.
Yes.
But then others were suspicious, and they were forced out of power. And then they set out to fight to regain what they thought they'd lost.
Mm-hmm. Are there any big superpowers with any interest in the region? Because it is close to the, you know, to the Red Sea.
Yeah, every superpower has very strong interests in this.
Yes,
it's of great interest to Russia. It's enormously important to the Americans, who've taken a big interest in this because they're very alarmed at growing Russian influence. Among the Islamic states of West and North Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so that drags in the two big superpowers. And then there's been a huge amount of Chinese money has been poured into Northern Africa as a result of their, you know, the whole idea that they would build these sort of the infrastructure of Africa with all their surpluses of money.
Yes.
And also collect a bit of interest at the same time.
Okay.
So that's all factored into the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And made it a very difficult situation to resolve, though at heart it was the bitterness of African nationalists who felt they were missing out on what one claimed the other lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's an amazing story, really, the way in which it was the states of the African Union who set out to work to solve this and negotiated it out in South Africa.
Yes.
And after, you know, a fortnight, extended for a few days, in November the 2nd, they reached a draft peace. And then on November the 7th, they gave it some teeth. And I mean, it's still incredibly fragile because the big problem is this. This is an agreement where the Tigrayans are given guarantees in return for ceasing their armed resistance to
yes.
Ethiopia.
Okay.
But there's no Eritrean signature on the document.
Okay.
And that means that for the moment, Eritrea, which, you know, remains important in, it's a very militant one-party state. It's one of the harshest states in the whole world. It's up there with North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
If it dislikes this agreement, then it'll have every reason to stir up trouble, because it's got territorial ambitions of its own.
Mm-hmm. Did the winding back there? Did the other African states step in simply from a humanitarian crisis point of view, or would the other states of Africa, like South Africa, have an interest in the area?
I think that the trouble was that a resistance army that continues like that lends aid to wherever else in Africa that it can find sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a game where each side plays and seeks sympathy from another and gives sympathy to each other. And, of course, right across North Africa, you've got the Islamic revolutionary groups allied with the ISIS, who are trying to get a greater degree of independence.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really scary for the rest of Africa, because it's destabilizing huge countries and successful countries like Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
See, so they've got very, very strong motives for wanting the Ethiopian situation to be tidied up. But the humanitarian aspect does seem to have weighed pretty heavily on the African states as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that the resources of people to give to humanitarian needs are pretty strained at the moment.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
I would think that's a factor. I mean, I know that in the mail that comes through my letterbox, Ethiopia has been mentioned several times.
Yes.
But I've been preoccupied with Ukraine.
Of course,
you know?
Yes.
I should think that's true of a lot of people who might otherwise give generously.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Peter, do you think we could perhaps look at Eritrea in the coming weeks sometime? I'm quite curious I don't know anything about this country, so...
Yes, it's a fascinating story all of its own. I think that would be a great study to look at some of those little oddities, not just Eritrea, but a number of those oddities of states around that area.
Yes.
Somalia, the Sudan, and the like. These are territories that are very, very significant. Once upon a time, Sudan covered most of North Africa, for example.
Yep.
And today, it's just one little state.
Yes.
So, yes, I think that would be a great topic, because, you know, a lot of religious complexity and interest and history lies in all of that area.
Yes, yes. Hey, Peter Lynham, thank you very much for a very interesting That's the Spirit. We'll look forward to chatting with you next week.
Excellent.
Okay, bye.